And I think we are living in a fantastic season. I call it a season where the Spirit of God is flowing so powerfully. How many of you have been touched by the Lord in the last 6 weeks? Have you been touched by the Lord? Now, if you have been touched by the Lord, please send in your stories, okay, on our website. Share your story. It's so important that stories build faith in all of us. And I still remember this sister shared, I used to be a very angry person. Whenever I talk, I get angry, I will bang the table, she said. But ever since the Holy Spirit touched me, I stopped banging tables. Now, that's what God would do in the hearts of people. And just last night at the end during this ministry time, I gave a word that God is going to heal some people. And I gave one specific one to say, someone with the left ear, God wants to heal you. All right, and I just left it as that. And a lady walked up to me at the end. She was crying as she said this to me. Pastor, you said someone with a left ear. I entered into the celebration with a sharp pain in my ear for the last few days. My husband said, if there's nothing improved by this weekend, we are going to see a doctor about this because I'm so distressed by this. When a moment you release that, where someone here with a left ear, with a problem, you know, she said the moment she heard that, she felt something and then she was instantly healed. Amen? And so this is what the Lord is doing. And I think we want to pray, not just for a visitation, you know, of the Spirit of God, but the habitation, that this is common. This is normal. Do you know what's my prayer? My prayer as a senior pastor is this, that when people are walking through the doors into the church, in the concourse, many of you will be praying. People will be healed even as they enter, all right, the church. And my prayer is that we will take this out into where our workplaces are. We'll take it to a place where our schools are, our universities are, so that we build a church courageous and bold in the faith. Amen? So that when we lay hands on people, and trusting that God will heal, God will bring transformation, but most importantly is that people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we are going through a series on loving people, 4 ways to love people. And last weekend, I preached about valuing people. I pray that you have actually done your homework. My homework to you was, you will ask God for 3 people that you're going to value. Not that we're going to ask you to do something yet, but you just ask God for 3 people that you will value. And how do you value? By listening, by lingering, and then by lending a hand. And the best way to lend a hand is that you pray for that person before you do anything else and trust these 3 persons to the Lord. And if we all do that as a church, can you imagine now, with 5,000 people, we are hitting 15,000 people in these next 4 weeks. I think that's an amazing thing, all right? And so we want to encourage you to continue to do that if you have not done so. And so last weekend on Saturday, when I talk about listening and lingering, one sister here said that I heard the Holy Spirit said to me that this auntie of mine had been in a hospital. I didn't have any intention to visit her, but when you said, Pastor, to linger with those that you value, and this auntie I do value, and I have not lingered with her. So I obeyed the call of the Lord, and last Saturday, I went to visit her in our hospital, because this was just before she was going for a major operation. And she said, I lingered with her, I heard her, I listened to her, and at the end, I led her to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? All right? And so as we learn to just value people, God will open up our hearts to people that, you know, we can share, that we can listen to. Because when we listen to people, their hearts are open. And I think that is an important part the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. And one of the things I told you that we need to do as we value, last weekend was Father's Day, right? So I gave everyone a booklet. And this is a dad's booklet. And on this dad's booklet, we say, be the father to your children. This is how you value your children, by going through a section at a time. At the end of each section is a homework. And for the next 6 weeks, you as a father will begin to value your children. And it says here, kids always love mom. Yeah, that's true. Kids always love mom, but they follow dad. That is why we need to value our children in such a way that they will follow you. And right at the end, you know, of this 4 sermon series of loving people, we talk about valuing people, and this week we're going to talk about connecting with people. How do we connect with them? And then we're going to talk about next week on serving people and then influencing people. There is a logical steps towards doing this in hearing the Holy Spirit. And by the end, let me just preempt you, by the end of this sermon series, we're going to encourage you to just pray, continue to pray for these three people. And I mentioned, I think the church mentioned to you as well, that there's going to be a Global Alpha launch in September. And one of those things that we would love to do is that you will connect with the people closest to you. The 9-to-5 window, I call it, the 6 days or 5 days a week that you are in the marketplace that you are, who are these people? And there is a special group of people that we want to target, really, are people who worked around. That means your office colleagues who work around Petaling Jaya, meaning that these are workplaces that is close to Dream Center here. And I want you to pray and ask God, who are some of these people that we can invite to the Alpha launch party? Because many, as they come, they will see that, you know, God can speak to them through these Alpha programs. And so 9th to 10th of July, if you work around this area in PJ and there are friends that you can invite, you know, we want to talk to you. We want to share with you a strategy on how to bring your friends. And if you are interested in that, you feel the Holy Spirit just prompting your heart right now, I want you to go to that, the next link, it talks, can you go to the next link? This is the Google form that you can go to. Just insert your name in there to say that I am interested. Then we get in touch with you so that on the 9th and 10th, we can share with you a strategy that you can use for your friends. Is that okay? All right, so we note that is Alpha Launch DUMC at Bitly. Okay? Now, this morning, we have privilege to have our brother, or rather, Elder Terrence Chapman, okay, who comes from Parameter Church based in Atlanta. And we were privileged to have, you know, met the senior pastor, Randy Pope, 2 Sundays ago. And I was so glad that somehow, by divine appointment, that I met the senior pastor before I even met Terrence. And so it's such a joy. But before I introduce him properly, I call it, we're going to read the scripture of God together. So why don't we stand and read together and hold up your Bible, whether it is a hard copy Bible or soft copy Bible, hold it up anyway, because we want to declare the word of God together. So you're going to repeat after me as what we always do at every weekend, all right? This is my Bible, right? Are you ready? 1, 2, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. We're going to read and declare the Word of God from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 22. Let's declare it together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in His flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as a chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Please be seated. And like I said, this morning we are privileged to have Elder Terrence Chapman to be here. He is actually the CEO of in a Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. So he has been here for a few days now Kahui, you know, got him here, and Kahui is the head of our faith at work, and so I understand that Kahui had really worked Terrence very, very hard, okay? And of course, with every successful man is a very successful, even more successful wife, or I wonder, could I get you to stand just to recognize you, that you have traveled together with Terrence? And through FCCI, I think what you're trying to do is, how then do we bring our faith into the workplace. And not only is Terrence involved with FCCI, but he's also the elder of Perimeter Church. So when the senior pastor was here, I checked, just double check with him, right? It's Terrence, right? And so found out a little bit about him. And yeah, he's still an elder of the Perimeter Church, all right? So his story checked out, all right? No issue. But in the last few hours, just talking and fellowshipping with Terrence, I felt that we have a DNA, all right? A kindred spirit. And so why don't we put our hands together? Let's invite Elder Terrence up here on stage. And let's just stretch our hands to the front as we pray for him, to ask that God will open up our ears and use him to use the word of God for the transformation of our hearts. Amen. Shall we stretch our hands to the front? Father, we thank you again for our brother Terrence here. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have used him, Lord, to bring life to God's word. And so we want to pray that may our ears be open to what Holy Spirit you have to say. And through the meditation of brother's hearts, God, may he bring forth a word that will be timely and seasonal for our lives. So we pray all this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. What a blessing to be here this Sunday. I want to just thank Pastor Chris Cum for his faithful life as an ambassador of Christ. And back in the United States, we hear quite a bit about DUMC and all the things that are happening here. So it is really a privilege and an honor to be here and get to know you. Fitting that the subject would be connection and how do we connect. And we're making this connection some 8,000 miles from America to Malaysia. And so it's so good to be here. You know, I had the privilege to listen to a pastor's sermon last week via the internet, which is another way in which we connect through YouTube. And as I listened to him, I listened to the first part of the series, to love people, you must value them. How true that is, it really resonated with me and my spirit and even my upbringing to think about the fact that in order to value people, you must first love them. And so I enjoyed what he spoke about. And I also, thought about your message that we are not just connecting people for this generation. We are also connecting people and building this church for the next generation as well. And I might even go on to say for the next generation. You know, just one generation after Joshua died, in Judges 2:10, it points out that an entire nation fell away from God because they had been disconnected to his truth. And so we get a chance to share his truth. One in person, two via the internet, all around the world. The Lord has brought a new instrument for us to demonstrate his word. You know, there was another good news kind of mentioned as I listened. He talked about children and how much they think you know and the age in which they think you know it. And so I was listening and I was encouraged when he talked about if your children are over 25 or 30 years old, they begin to think that dad knows something. But then I was a little bit challenged because he also mentioned that during those 10 years of 15 to 25, the children think that you know nothing. So I was encouraged because my kids are now over 26. So I'm hoping that they come to know that I know a little. Well, I do thank you. I want to continue this series to four things that's needed to love people. And as I thought about even sharing yesterday, I said, Holy Spirit, Jesus, what do you want said here today? How do we want to connect with people? Not just with one another, but with you. And so I've been praying through that. What would that look like? To think about and to do life according to the scriptures. And it really hit me on some messages I hope to share with you today. Because this connection that we're going to talk about is a connection through a divine grace. It's greater than a human connection. It's a divine connection from a divine Father. And so today, we're going to continue this series with a word from God from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 22, and I'm going to kind of rest close to verse 22 as he talks about the indwelling, building lives together, and what does that look like. So before we start, let me just take this also to the Lord in prayer. Father, through Christ, we come at the foot of your throne room. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. Let us connect first through you and then to one another. Let me propose that we connect in three possible ways, Father, that you would make a very strong connection today through this word. Let the words that come from me come directly through you as you work in me and through me. Less of me, more of you. In Christ's name, amen. You know, to love people, we must be connected with people. And, you know, as I was thinking, let me propose that we need to be connected with them on possibly three levels. You know, how do we become a master connector? I'm going to propose three pathways. There is a physical pathway. There is an intellectual pathway. And most importantly, there is a spiritual level of connectivity. And I want to camp out most of the talk today in that spiritual level of connection. And so as I enter into this physical side, where people connect in different ways, but in the physical side, I realized even this morning as I was trying to connect via the internet at my hotel, and I got a little symbol that says, you cannot connect because you're not logged in. See, some of us don't connect because we're not engaged, we're not logged in. I needed a password, I needed a username, and although I had the tool to connect, I had the intention of connecting, I had the purpose to connect, I even had the desire to connect, but I could not connect because there were some requirements that I needed in terms of a username and password. But what if the hotel had not provided me the username or password? I would be stuck trying to figure out how to use this tool that was totally ineffective because I'm disconnected. Many of us, although we see each other on a daily basis, we're not connected. We are not plugged in. We are not doing life on life together. But, you know, I'm encouraged because in Malaysia this week, we have been connected with a lot of people. And one of the ways that we connect is via a meal. You guys feed people. But you don't just feed people like America feed people. You feed people for like 3 hours. And so my waistline needs a new connection. So we sit at the meal and we tell stories, but instead of bringing out all of the entree, you're very smart. You bring it out piece by piece. And we eat, and we eat, and we eat, and we eat. And so I say, well, where is the dessert? If we've eaten this much, I might as well go all the way. So I came on a low-carb diet, and I leave needing a diet. Thank you, Kahui, for all that you have done. I'm working for food, and he has fed me well. But I also experience people who are dining together. And over hours, I don't know how they do it, they don't talk to one another. They sit across from the table with two iPhones or Android phones, and they never talk to each other. Their head is down, they're eating, and not a word is said. I'm not saying that's you. I'm just saying that's just a couple that I saw. It was probably a few Americans. But they sit there, and what's so ironic is that they'll text each other. And I'm like, If my daughter texts me when I'm sitting across the table, we have a major problem. But these young folks, I have to get cool. I have to get connected with them. Obviously, I need to figure out how this whole process works, okay? So I need a little help there. But let me examine this deep relationship that I'm talking about on a physical level through a poem that I found online once I got connected. It says that every moment we spend together has touched our lives, our souls forever. The things we should share and learn is permanent growth that we've earned. The person that I have grown into today did not get there by chance, no way. I am who I am partly because of you, and you are you because of me too. That the changes I see and what I have learned about me are a response to how we affected our lives and what we discovered in each other. It is uncertain if we have to part one day our lives together, but either way, we have touched our lives forever. No matter what the future will show, no matter what we were told, we are connected on such a deep level that no one can remove. Our feelings might be different a year from now, but you are a part of me forever somehow. A part of me will always be with you, and a part of you will always be with me. No matter what happens, that much is certain. Our souls are one until life closes. That is a deep affection. Possibly an affection that I desire to have my wife say, my children say, others in my life say. It is an affection that I have invested in another through the love. And I define this love as a commitment. But the love that I'm going to get to is a commitment that's ordained by God and is undergirded by emotions. It's a deeper love than just a physical attraction. When I look at the intellectual connection, we also have a desire to connect with people intellectually, mentally, strategically. We like to work through things and share ideas and connect with each other this way. And I have come to a conclusion as I try to connect even with my wife and my children. I come to believe that the conclusion that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. We just somehow, although we're trying to say the same thing, somehow we just don't connect on some issues. So John Maxwell, a theologian out in Atlanta, also says that people who communicate well find common ground. And that's the good news. That's how my wife has stayed together for 33 years. We have found some common ground. And gentlemen, you know that if you don't find common ground, the common ground is just to say, yes, I agree. And you will find even more common ground. As the pastor said to us in the waiting room, whatever the wife says, it's the right thing. Just follow it, and you will find common ground and communicate much better. But everyone communicates, but few connect. Few people connect, although they communicate. You know, I have over 50,000 connections via social media, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook, et cetera, but I know very few of them. Our generation, we talk about millions of connections, but in reality, they know very few of them. And so, great communications, they find common ground, they connect, they show forgiveness in the relationship. They don't condemn, they edify one another. They nurture one another, and the relationship is more important than being right. And I have to really learn some lessons from that, because too often I want to be right versus trying to maybe understand the person better. And so we have a person who has shown us the way to connect through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus connected physically with people. He connected intellectually with people, and he also connected spiritually with people. I mean, let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, where Jesus connected physically with people. He went through all the towns and villages, proclaiming the good news. He healed diseases and sicknesses. He had compassion on the crowds. And Jesus went where the people were. He didn't wait for the people to find him. You know, that's one of the things I like about what's happening here. You're not waiting on the people to come. You're also going out to reach the people. That is the challenge for the modern day church. Many people, especially in the U.S., attend church on a regular basis. But they listen to the internet, and so you're going to reach them that way. But they're in the highways and the byways, the apartments, and they're just waiting to be told the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe if we can help them to investigate this good news, just to understand what it is. Not, we don't have the power of conversion, but we do have the privilege and honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe his word will not come back void. It is a powerful word. It is a sword, if you will, and it is one that will cut through the clutter. And so we can connect physically, we can connect intellectually, but I want to camp out on this ideal of connecting spiritually. It's a deeper connection. And so when I think about this spiritual connection and how we connect with God and one another through the Son of Jesus Christ, through this divine grace that God has connected us through, I think of it because I'm a product of this thing called life-on-life discipleship, where one person has invested in me for whatever reason. Fortunately, I've been blessed because it started at the home. It started with my parents. It started with my siblings. They loved me. They invested in me. They cared for me. And for some of us, we may not have that luxury. Don't worry about that. It starts with you. This process can start with you. But this connection, this life-on-life connection, has also happened not only where I live, but where I work and where I play and where I worship. And when I think about where I work, this organization that I'm now connected to through the Holy Spirit moving in my life called the Fellowship of Companies for Christ International, we're the largest marketplace ministry in the world. We're in 139 countries. We're working with Christian executives and CEOs, and we're doing life together. And what that means is we meet on a weekly basis. We're sharing God's word together. We're equipping one another together. We're holding each other accountable in love together. We're doing mission work together, and we're praying for one another together. We're walking with each other. And we're talking about business issues and challenges in life that can stagnate us. And we're walking together and praying for one another to cut through the clutter. And it's making a difference not only in these men and women's lives, but it's impacting nations. Let me tell you a story about an impact of connectivity. One of our leaders do business in India. And his home business is in America, but he expanded to India. And when he went over to India, he was immediately confronted with an issue called a taxation, which you might know as corruption. And this taxation was pretty hefty, about $225,000. And he refused to pay the tax. In fact, we have bold and courageous people. He not only refused to pay the tax, he wrote on his business card a big circle with a line through it that said, "No bribes." And then he led a movement with the other business leaders in Nepal and said, "No bribes, sign this petition." I'm going to finish that story in a minute because it has an outstanding ending. But he also wanted to connect with people. He opened up his company. He struggled for 10 years. And all of a sudden, he realized there were people working for him, that their extended family was enslaved. They were enslaved because of a debt that they owed. And this was generational enslavement. And some of the money that they owed was just so ridiculous. It was like $1 or $2 equivalent U.S. dollars. But yet they were enslaved generationally. And so he began to buy families out of slavery. The first year he bought 46 families out of slavery for less than $10,000. And then he realized that they would go right back to slavery for the same reason that they were enslaved in the first place. They had no resources. They had no jobs. There was no economic development in India in these towns. And so he did what any Christian business owner would do. He built a town. And in that town, he put in place a business, an educational center, and a church. And what happened is people began to come. And he built, you know, running water, all the facilities. And people's lives began to be transformed. That's what happens when you connect people with God's word and relationship and someone that cares. And this gentleman began to invest in people's lives. And his first town that he built was Faith Town. He named it Faith Town. And he built it in the form of a cross. And he figured if Nepal came and took my town, they at least get a cross as a reward. Well, he went on and continued to do this throughout. And he built three towns, Faith Town, Hope Town, and Love Town is what he called them. He initially started this some 20 years ago, ministering to about 500 people through this process. And now he's ministering to over 500,000 people, or 500,000 people. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't God work in such a way that we can't comprehend, right? But it was a love that was generated and motivated by a divine grace that's bigger than him. And today, just 2 years ago, he received the Nobel Laureate Award, one of the highest honors in India for fighting against injustice. And they just passed a referendum to end slavery and to end corruption. So this is what happens when we get people to come together. In our sphere of influence, it's called the business world. Business is mission. But in other fields, it's where you live, it's where you work, it's where you play, it's where you worship. It's all aspects of life. And we like to connect with you. I love what you're doing in July and bringing business leaders. You know, I want to connect pastors. I want to connect the church with the marketplace. And one way that we're doing that is we're taking the pastors and we're saying, instead of the business leader coming to you and your church and your office, why don't you go to their business? Why don't you go and pray for the business leader where they are? Why don't you go and walk the hallways of the business and pray for their staff? Why don't you go and take the church to the marketplace instead of you waiting on the marketplace to come to you? That's where FCCI can help you. And so we are encouraged and we're ready to do that. We want to be able to pray together. We want to be able to study God's word together. We want to be able to do life-on-life discipleship together. We want to be able to do mission work together like Nepal, and we want to make sure that this nation is not the same as a result of the Lord doing work here. You know, there's 5 to 10% what we call evangelical Christian here in Malaysia. And so our prayer is that we would focus on 4 to 5 cities and reach 1,500 influential Christian business leaders to have impact in this nation. And we give all praise, honor, and glory to the Father. Well, we like to connect with you. You can reach us at fcci.org. And we want to pray for you. Tell us how we can be praying for you and how we can connect with you. And the idea is that this community would never be the same because the Lord is working in this place through the marketplace. Well, verse 14 of our scripture tells us that the only way that this connection will happen It's through the blood of Christ, which we now have peace with God. It is the only way. There are many practices. And I always say, whatever your practice, just go fully at it. But for us, me, my family, my household, we will practice the Word of God. And the way that we understand the Word of God is through the Son of Jesus Christ. He bore our sin and He came for the loss. And that loss includes you, it includes me. And He paid the ultimate price at Calvary. He paid it for you, not just one time, but for eternity. He said, "It is finished. The veil has been torn. And now we have direct access to the Father. We have the greatest connectivity that ever exists. We do not have a religion. We have a relationship. And that relationship is with the Almighty Father through the Son of Jesus Christ." Amen. So Jesus has closed this gap. He even closed the gap with between the Jews and the Gentiles, which was a major gap. If He can close that gap, no wonder He has closed the gap from America to Malaysia. I'm here. It was a long journey through Indonesia, through some other islands I can't even pronounce, through Bali, praise the Lord for Bali, and now through Malaysia. And so my wife says, "Wow, praise God for United Airlines, that we can get from point A to point B in less than 24 hours. It's not bad. Kahui, the Lord is connecting us via the internet. He's connecting us in all types of ways. But most importantly, He has connected us with a divine grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, through the internet, guys, we no longer have to be foreigners and strangers. We can now speak the same language all around the globe. We can do it much more strategically, much more intentionally. We can do it much more all over in places. You know, I'm an old Coca-Cola guy. In Coca-Cola, we find ways to get Coca-Cola in places that don't even have roads. They don't have signs. But we know how to gain distribution of Coca-Cola everywhere. And our idea is, how do we get the gospel out just like Coca-Cola has gotten it out? We used to have a saying that although we owned 80% market share in America, and the analysts used to challenge us about growth, they used to say, "Is there room for growth? You have 80% market share. Aren't you done?" And our chairman used to say, "Until every water fountain in the world is pouring Coca-Cola, we still have opportunity." And that's what I say to you. Until every person within Malaysia, into every person in the United States and Russia, into every person that goes into Europe, into every person in Africa, everywhere around the world, we still have opportunities. We have the best story to connect people with. And so I love this idea that Christ is a cornerstone, that in verse 22, He talks about we are built together for a greater purpose. And He has left a spirit that indwells in us. And through that spirit, He's working in us and through us for His glory. And so the first connectivity must be with the Father. And those who have been connected spiritually, we can now pray together. Those who have been connected through the Spirit, we can now study God's Word together with understanding. For those who have been connected with the Spirit, we can now grow in our faith together. And for those who have been connected spiritually, we can now do life on life together on an entirely different level with a greater purpose and an eternal outcome. And I don't know how long eternity is, but in Greek, I think it means a long time. Longer than 60 years, longer than 70 years, longer than 100 years. So just go ahead and make the sacrifice now so that you can have connection with the Father for a lifetime and beyond. It is the greatest connection that we can make. You know, it is the righteous people who has been connected with God. And these righteous people are sinners saved by grace. We've all been there. None of us are obsolete to this reality. The fact that in when we talk about the garden, we lost it all. We didn't lose a little bit. We lost all of our moral capabilities. But I have good news. Jesus Christ has done it all. And guess what? We get it all. We get all of his magnificent glory, not just a little bit. We get it all because he has done it all. We can't work our way there. We can't earn his favor. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through the blood of the Son. And so, are you connected today? Are you familiar with the ultimate master connector? The ultimate master connector is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the one that I want to talk to you about. He's greater than the internet. He's greater than anything that you can encounter. And he is an everlasting God. He is a wonderful King. He is faithful and he is true. That is the God that we follow. You know, no costly acts of love just happens. I don't believe I'm here just by accident. I believe that impelled by a new appetite, I have an appetite to love and to feel this love and to take it to nations around the world. For us, it's just through the marketplace. For you, it's through the church and mission. But we can come together and we can do something greater together than we can do separated. What can we do together, Pastor, that we can't do alone? That is the power of this connectivity here today. How strong is our love for the faith for one another? Is it conditional or unconditional? Is it circumstantial? Has the love of Christ made a difference in your life, in the relationship, your marriage, your parenting, your siblings? How are you developing strong relationships here at DUMC? You know, where I'm from, Perimeter Church, we do it through life-on-life discipleship. We sit in a group of just a few people, and we talk about life. We talk about real-life challenges. We get authentic. We get transparent. It typically takes men a little longer than women. It takes us about a year just to say our name correctly. The women gets in, and they're right at it. The men, we have to straighten up and look good and all this. And then about a year later, we pronounce our name correctly. We become transparent. But until you do life on life together with God's truth, I will challenge you that transformation may be slower than it should be. To go deeper in your faith with one another is how we transform this place. And so the writers of the Bible make it clear that the gospel is the foundation for spiritual growth and connectivity. As with any structure, the foundation is not only the starting point, but it's also the primary support of the structure itself. It all starts with a relationship. If DUMC was not founded on the cross, it will fall. It will not stand. Its foundation would be too weak. It cannot sustain the weathers that this society will bring on it and bring on it very soon. We are in a falling nation and it's falling very quickly. Pastor Tim Keller remarked that the gospel is the good news that through Christ, the power of God's kingdom has entered history to renew the whole world. And in Greek, that means the whole world. When we believe and rely on Jesus' work and record rather than ours, for our relationship to God, that kingdom power comes upon us and begins to work in us and through us for the transformation of this world. And so to love people is to connect with them. Connect with them not on a physical level only, not on an intellectual level only, but you must connect with them on a spiritual level. We all need something greater than ourselves. We just find it in different places. But for us, we have found it in the blood of Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And so I encourage you, as the pastor has encouraged you, to connect with three people. Call them within the next 30 days. Sit down with them within the next 30 days and just do life together. Listen well. Pray for them. Encourage them. Just invite them to open up and be real. But first, you have to be authentic. And then, when the moment comes, helps them to investigate the truth, the Word of God, the gospel. I believe that the gospel will transform. Don't worry about what you say or what you don't say. The gospel is powerful. It is transformational, and it is eternal. Let us go ahead and pray as I close. Father, let your grace be with us today. As we travel throughout Indonesia and Malaysia and Tokyo and America, let us rejoice in your calling right here. Let us be edified throughout this journey. Let your presence be so apparent and touch the lives that you place in front of us. Let us seek your authentic glory by means of your grace alone, according to your truth alone. We praise and we honor you, Jesus, in his name, amen.
Church, I think we need to respond, amen? I think the power of the gospel, let's never underestimate that when God comes true for people that we value, that we connect, God does his work, not us. Our role is to be a witness. A witness simply means to just share what God has done in our lives, amen? And so we want to just right now, just where you are, as every weekend, we encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me, Lord, this morning? What are you saying to me? Shall we bow our heads right now and just have a quick conversation with the Holy Spirit? Ask him, Holy Spirit, what would you say to me this morning? Could you do that right now, just for a few seconds? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, will you just put a word in our hearts, in our minds right now? Put an impression. Put a burden, God, in our hearts. Put a desire. Lord, let us never not leave this place without first hearing from you. As we connect with you, God, we believe that you're going to download into our lives, God, many good things. Because you said, Lord, you are the good, good Father. And you know just what we need, God, before we say a word. And that was what we sung just now. And so you know the desires of our heart. As we bow before you right now, Lord, we want to ask you, you speak into our lives. Let us leave this place, God, having heard the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Let there be a divine exchange right now between you and God. And as all heads are bowed, I want to speak to those who may not be Christians here. Every weekend, you know, we make a challenge for people to accept Jesus, and there will be people. You may have been here, invited by a friend. You may have come a few times now to DUMC, but you never really committed your life to God. We want to give an opportunity before you leave this place this morning. You know, we want you to say yes to Jesus. And how do you do that? You do that by simply inviting him. That's all you need to do. Nothing you can do to save yourself except what God has done through Jesus. And I pray that if you heard this message over and over again, to recognize that by yourself, you cannot be saved except through Jesus. So if that's the desire of your heart, in your heart right now, you make this simple prayer. Wherever you are seated right now, down here, up in the gallery, as you head about, you just say a simple prayer to Jesus to say, Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I need you. And so you come, Lord, into my life right now. Lord, if that's the intention of your heart, if that prayer means something, I want you to, at the count of three, just put up your hand where you are, and I want to pray for you, to ask God to bless you, even as you connect with God, as God wants to connect with you. Maybe you're backslided. Maybe you have not come, you know, to God for a long time now. Maybe a friend invited you. So whatever it is, God still loves you. And so as I count to three, maybe that's you too. You have walked away from God for a while. Somebody invited you to come to church again, and you want to renew your life to God. You can put up your hand as well. And when I see your hands, I'm going to pray for you. At the count of three, wherever you are, as all heads are bowed right now, at the count of three, you put up your hand down here and up in the gallery as well, because God sees your hand and God will bless you. At the count of three, one, two, and three. Is there anyone? Just put up your hand where you are. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anyone? Yesterday, there were two or three people who put up their hand. Yes, I see one hand. Any other hand? Any other hand? Up in the gallery. Ushers, you keep it. Yes, I see another hand there over there. Anyone else? Even a child, a young person, can receive the Lord Jesus. I see a young child putting up his hand as well. Anybody else? Before I pray for you. Yes, I see another hand there. Thank you. Up in the gallery. Yes, another hand up in the gallery. Yes, I see two hands there up in the gallery. These are hands the Lord, the Father sees. So when you put up your hand this way, I do not know what is the background in your life. But guess what? God knows. God sees your hand and He honors that hand. So as you lift your hand right now, church, can you pray together with me? Those who would put up your hand, can you pray this prayer together with me aloud? But the church is going to pray together with you as you invite Jesus into your life, even right now. Whether you are backslided or whether it's a fresh decision that you're making, I believe as God wants to connect with you, right now you're connecting back to God. All right, so church, can you pray aloud together with me right now? And those who put up your hands, pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for connecting with me by coming down to earth to die on the cross for my sins. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need you. Please forgive my sin and set me free from my sins and connect me back to God. Please come into my life and make me a new person. And I pray all this in Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have made that prayer, I rejoice with you because now you have become a child of God. Right now, you have a special relationship with the good, good Father. And if you have put up your hand, and maybe you have not put up your hand, but you have prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you, if a friend has brought you, ask your friend, can you bring me right to the front? Because we're going to give you some literature to help you. Maybe you have a question to ask, you know, about what the decision you have just made, and we want to just pray with you. Can you do that? Those of you who have put up your hand, even up in the gallery, and we will wait for you to come down. But for the rest of us, I believe that God wants to just bless you. We're going to open up this time now for a time of ministry. Whatever your needs are, every weekend we see God touching people in such a powerful way. But I believe that one of the things that God reminded me, that to tell the people, once again, remind them that God is a good, good Father. Amen. When you have a good Father, you don't feel shy about going to the Father. And when you come to the front, you are really saying, Father, I need you. Because even before I ask what is in my heart, you already know me. Amen? So that's the beauty of being a child of God, that God, the Father, knows us. And I just sense right now that some of us feel that we are so disconnected with God. You know, you are a Christian. You have moved away from sin. But yet, you are not living the kind of life that God wants you to live as a victorious Christian. And so I just sense for you right now that some of you need to be empowered. As we talk about valuing people, the reason why you find so hard to value people is because in your own life, maybe you have not been valued. And God wants to do that restoration in your life. And if you sense that's what God is saying to you, God wants to connect with you. Some of us need to be empowered by God, by the Holy Spirit. you know, you come up every weekend, why? You say you need more of the Holy Spirit. So whatever your needs are, you need healing, you need, you know, God to empower you in a fresh new way. You know, I also sense that God wants to restore relationship. You know, I just sense for some of us, we have this such a bad relationship with our own father. God wants to restore you. Last night, a man walked up here, he was crying. He said, I have a broken relationship with my father. I want you to pray for me that somehow God will give me wisdom to know how to connect back to my father. And so if that's you, you know, you need the help of the Holy Spirit, come right to the front. I also sense that for some of us in the whole area of, you know, your marriage relationship, you know, Terrence talked about, you know, the need to just connect even with our own spouse, with our own children, you know, all that. You need the Holy Spirit, come right to the front. We're going to pray for you. Shall we all stand? And if you brought a friend, ask your friend, can I walk to the front with you? Can I pray together with you, all right, to the front? Thank you, Lord. I sense the Lord is saying right now that where you are, you may not be up front here, but could you right now, where you're standing, don't look around, but just connect with God right now, because I believe He's ministering into your life. The Lord is saying to you that I love you, and you have not heard that from God for a while. This is what He's saying: I love you, and I love you deeply. And if you need to know this Father again, come right to the front. There are people who can help you, to explain to you some of these things. But I sense that God wants to do this. Every weekend, I've asked the Lord, what are some of the call, prophetic call that God is going to place upon us as a church? I sense that, again, three groups of people. The Lord says that in a whole area of healing, some of us have skin issue. The Lord says He wants to heal you, whether eczema or whether some issues of your skin. And the other thing the Lord said to me just now was some of us have a lower back ache. The Lord wants to heal you on that. And the last thing is a concern for cancer. You know, some of you are maybe going through chemotherapy right now. The Lord says that I want, you know, to just put a healing touch upon your life. So if that's you, if that's what the Lord is saying to you in your heart, just as the sister who said about the painful ear on the left, if that's you, you obey that. Obey the prompting of the Lord and come right to the front. So you may be standing where you are. Don't look around, but you pray for the people in front. Can you do that right now? All right, pray in the Spirit if you need to. As you sing in the mind, with the mind and with the Spirit, just ask God to bless these people in front. Thank you, Lord.
I've seen many searching for answers and found one. Searching for answers, only You provide. You know just what we need before we say it a word. You're a good Father. It's who You are.
Oh, bless His people.
It's who You are.
Jesus. Church, can we just raise our hands to the Lord right now? This is a fantastic posture of submission to the Lord to say, God, I need you, and I need you badly, God, because that's what a Christian life is about. It's keeping in step with the Spirit of God. And this is what the Lord is saying right now. For some of us, I see a picture of the ear. The Lord is saying, say, some of you have been saying this, Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to hear you more, but yet you have difficulty doing that. I just sense for you that the Holy Spirit wants to anoint your ear right now. So if that's you, you know, you say, I want to hear the Holy Spirit, I'm not hearing that well. So you put your hand to your ear right now. I want to anoint, ask the Holy Spirit to anoint your ear right now. If that is what the Lord is saying to you right now, I'm going to pray to ask God to open up your spiritual ear that you may hear Him and hear Him clearly. So Holy Spirit, right now, Lord, up in the gallery or down, Lord, here, I pray, Lord, as our people right now come before you and put their hand to their ear by faith right now, Lord, will you teach them how to hear you? Lord, will you open up their ears, God, that they may hear your prompting of the Holy Spirit when they are out, Lord, in a marketplace. When you say something to them to do this, God, they hear it and hear it clearly, God. When they do their devotion, Father, speak to them through the word, but not only that, but you speak through them, God, through a voice, God, within them. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, have a breakthrough right now. May they have a breakthrough in their hearing, that they may hear God, God, in a special way. And so, Lord, will you bless the desires of their heart? Will you, Lord, as they come by faith right now, Lord, allow them to hear your voice in a clear way, God. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you, all of us right now, just pray in the Spirit just for a few seconds. Can you do that right now? To just seal into God what God has done. The Lord says, I'm a good father. Because I'm a good father, I walk with you every day. I'm going to give you a sensitivity about me. And all you need to do is to have a desire. Invite me in your journey every day. As you wake up each morning, invite him. Invite him to walk with you. Invite him to help you connect with people. Because I love these people. I'm going to use you in a way that you've never seen before. So Holy Spirit, I pray, may these words, God, be something that every person here receive that by faith. And Lord, you use them powerfully wherever they go. Lord, cause a miracle to happen wherever they go, to see people's lives transformed by the power of the word, God. And so, Lord, we receive right now every good word that comes from you, every good gift, Lord. Bless your people, we pray, even as they leave this place into the mission field out there. So now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Spirit be with us both now and forevermore, and all God's children say, amen. 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 Have a great Spirit-filled weekend this coming.